Welcome back to the Hockey House Podcast, episode 143, presented by our friends at Selly Hockey Co. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you the latest news from the ACHA and AAU college hockey offseason. I think we spoke news into existence this week, Collins, because last episode we came on, we talked about how going into the summer, we wanted to do an episode every week. We wanted to keep everybody up to date, and the news cycle just went dry around mid-July, and so we've switched to this alternating week schedule, and sure enough, it's time to record this week, and we have plenty of news to talk about. But before we get into all that, Collins, you have a job update for us?
Nothing I can say officially yet. There has been some major progress, and in 2 weeks I might be in New York City. But it's hard to believe that the season's almost here already. You completely forget once you're out of college when you move back in. Kind of forget how early it is. August 20th, August 25th, that kind of range. We're 2 weeks away from everybody going back to school. And that only means, you know, less than a couple weeks for the first games to start happening, the preseason week zero games, whatever you want to call it. So glad that the news cycle is back, though. It feels like we've been kind of fighting for scraps, I guess.
You know, the college hockey season is around the corner where we start getting jersey reveals this time of year. We had Northwestern unveil new home jerseys, you know, white with the purple cats script. Northwestern official logos on the shoulders as well. And I believe UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio, the Roadrunners, they came out with a clean new set. The shoulders are the pattern. It's just their logo enlarged on the shoulder. It makes this cool pattern for the Roadrunners. So they got another cool jersey set too. So I want to give those two teams some shout outs on the jersey front, but I'm with you too. I'm just waiting to put pen to paper on an apartment in Boston, and then we'll move Hockey House HQ from North Conway, New Hampshire down to, fingers crossed, Quincy, Massachusetts for the time being, and super excited about that. Men's League tournament coming up this week. We're sharing photos from last night. We had another Men's League celebration for the Merlino's Steakhouse team. We got our championship hoodies came in, so it was an excuse for everybody to get together on a Tuesday night and celebrate at the golf course. So it was a fun time. The guys loved the sweatshirts. Special shout out to Matt at 614 Hockey. He got us hooked up. We modeled our team sweatshirts after the Fanatics hoodies that the NHL players were wearing in the locker rooms last year. So it looks like an official team apparel, and it's got the patch on the side that says Tuesday Night Hockey League Champs. So they came out really well, and we were super excited about that. But like you said, we got tons of news to talk to, and I think if we had recorded 48 hours ago, we would have had two different headlines than what we ended up with today. But the lead here is the ACCHL has added four more teams to their new ACHA M1 conference: the University of Pittsburgh, University of Delaware, Syracuse University, and Stony Brook University are joining the M1 league. Teams have officially been given M1 status for 2025-26. Tentatively, this conference had four teams. They needed to get to that six-team threshold to be considered an official conference in the ACHA M1. They add four teams to bring the conference total to eight teams. The teams listed will be joining the current three ACCHL teams: NC State, Louisville, and UNC Chapel Hill. They have been given preliminary approval for the ACCHL. They are joining existing M1 member University of Alabama, and now they will officially have a league in 2025-2026. They will go with a two division format. There'll be a North division and a South division. The league will be looking to grow over time to include eight teams in each division, and will bring like-minded schools together who are ambitious, progressive in their approach to growing ACHA M1 hockey in the East. So the ACCHL North will feature the four teams added: Delaware, Pitt, Stony Brook, and Syracuse. And the ACCHL South will be made up of Alabama, Louisville, NC State, North Carolina. So some very exciting news. Collins, we're recording this on Wednesday night. It is being released on Friday by the time this news breaks. But this was news to you when you opened up the notes tonight. What are your first thoughts?
I am absolutely stoked about this. I think this is going to really shake up the ACHA landscape. I think it provides a really, really cool opportunity from a kind of perspective that we were looking for, maybe a conference that had all the big brands. And with them looking to add eight more members, I think it could be feasible to see some, the Philly schools, some more New York schools, and even some schools down south, potentially even having a South Carolina or something like that. If somebody were to jump ship from AAU to the ACHA, I think it provides a really cool opportunity to gather all the big brands in the ACHA, but it also provides a really great opportunity for a lot of teams to play some consistently very high-ranked teams.
Yeah, I mean, as a Syracuse alum, I'm super pumped. Not only the fact that, you know, Syracuse, an ACC school, will now be playing in the ACCHL. You know, they're going to play a lot of familiar teams. You get to keep the rivalry with Delaware and Stony Brook that has developed over the last couple of years. Pitt is a new addition, but an ACC school. So you have that rivalry there. And then I'm jealous of these guys at Cuse who in the future are going to get to play against NC State, UNC, Louisville, and maybe even Bama as well. So I think it's a really good move. And like I said, as alum, to look back and say, wow, like Syracuse is now in the ACCHL. I think it's only going to help the team in terms of recruiting. And again, those other ACC schools, especially, you know, the Pitts and the UNCs and the NC States, who can say like, hey, we play in an ACC hockey conference against all the same teams that we're used to playing in basketball and football. And that might not be true in a couple of years with the way conference realignment is going, but super exciting. I'm happy for the ACCHL. They found four more teams and they can be an official conference beginning in 2025-26. And I think there's a couple of these are names that we mentioned when the news broke a couple months ago, some teams that we thought might be good additions for this league as well. So very exciting news on that front. But NC State is sticking in the headlines here because we got more outdoor games coming to Charlotte. We have 8 college teams facing off at Truist Field in Charlotte, North Carolina this season. We already knew about UNC and Virginia Tech. They're going to square off on January 4th, but 3 more games were announced the weekend before Thanksgiving. Kicking things off on Thursday night, we have Duke taking on Vanderbilt, a little ACHA versus AAU action. This is Friday night, November 22nd. Charlotte versus App State, a rematch of last year's game outside at Truist Field, hoping to get another spectacular crowd for that one. And then the main event is going to be Saturday night, NC State taking on South Carolina, a border battle in Charlotte, the perfect venue for this. NC State head coach Tim Healy broke the news on Tuffy Talk, an NC State podcast. Ticket and general details are still to come on this one, but tickets are on sale for the January 4th game between UNC and Virginia Tech. So exciting games here. Collins, looking at this one from a distance, is there a matchup you're looking for? I know NC State, South Carolina is getting a lot of media attention. I think they're all going to be gorgeous jersey matchups, which I think is fun to talk about in matchups like this being outdoors. You were talking earlier, maybe some concerns. You know, the weather wasn't ideal last year. We had a little bit of rainfall for that game between App State and Charlotte. These boys are going to have to keep their fingers crossed that they get ice, good ice, 3 nights in a row in Charlotte in November.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for sure. We were supposed to have a game against Duquesne in January outdoors. That got moved inside because it was too warm for an outdoor game. Shockingly, hopefully it works out. Charlotte versus App State is definitely going to be really cool to see again, especially after what happened last year with that unfortunate overtime goal. So I think it's going to be another really, really close matchup, and hopefully we get to see another spectacular finish like that. So that's going to be great. And then the headliner, NC State versus South Carolina, is going to be amazing.
And like I mentioned from the jersey front, you know, last time these teams went outdoors, we got new jerseys, Charlotte and App State, not matching jerseys, but they both got outdoor jerseys. You had NC State and UNC when they played Frozen Finley, they both got special jerseys for it. I would imagine a team like South Carolina is going to break out something cool for this event too. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. And for more information, this week's guest sat down with head coach Tim Healy from the NC State Ice Pack to get a little more information about all things ACCHL, the outdoor games in Charlotte, and just everything that's going on behind the scenes to get ready for the Ice Pack's final season in ACHA M2. We're pleased to be joined by NC State Ice Pack head coach Tim Healy. Coach Healy, welcome to the Hockey House.
Murph, it's a pleasure to be here and, you know, following the footsteps of Riley Johnson, who I think was one of your first guests on the Hockey House back during the COVID year from NC State.
I think I was like recording that from my younger sister's bedroom because I think that's where I was banished to for the week because she wasn't home. So that brings up some old Hockey House memories, and it's great to have you on. It feels like so much has happened since the last time we had an NC State representative on the podcast here. It was coming off of that huge outdoor game. But I want to know, like, right now you guys are probably gearing up for the season. What does the off season in August look like for an ACHA coach?
I think it's different for everyone, but for us, and I know we're going to get in a lot of this, it's been a little bit different for us this year with some of the announcements about new leagues and the like. For me, you know, the core of it is making sure our incoming guys are ready to go. They're comfortable. They know what to expect. It. We've actually been on the ice once a week all summer. This week, we actually start twice a week. So I think this is airing on Friday. So we'll have been on the ice twice by the time this airs. Oddly enough, you're working on scheduling for next season already. It's two things. I want to have as much done for next season by next week. And when we get into tryouts, we can just focus on this year. But you're making sure buses are done and all that stuff and getting ready for the year.
Well, we wanted to have you on to talk about the news of another outdoor game. But by the time that this comes out, there will have been more breaking news in the new ACCHL. You guys announced earlier this offseason that you would be elevating your program to ACHA M1, and joining you would be UNC and Louisville, and then Alabama would go from independent to join the new ACCHL. But new news has come out. Syracuse, Pitt, Delaware, and Stony Brook will now form the North Division of this ACCHL, which we can get to in a little bit here. But I want to talk to you because we talked in January. I think you floated the idea out to me and Herm to kind of see what we had thought about it, because I think that's when the ball really started to roll and get some momentum. How long has this been in the works for? First time we had spoke about this was way back in January, where it seems like the ball was really starting to get some momentum on this new conference being put together. When did you come up with this idea and working with the ACCHL to kind of grow the game a little bit more and elevate things to the Division I level?
I can't speak personally for the other programs. For me, there were three components of when the right time would be for it. When we've been near the top of D2 for a while, and we have been now, we've turned over a couple of classes. You know, I think you see a lot of teams on a D2 level, they'll get one class in and they'll shoot up, but they'll kind of revert back, right? So we've been there for a while now. Two, making sure the revenue was right over a number of years, and we're at that point, because certainly an M1 program is more expensive to run. And the third part, getting the admissions funnel right, making sure we are now attracting the right players to do this and understanding what it takes to get into NC State and making sure we're getting that caliber. NC State's really hard to get into, out of state in particular, 29%. I don't think a lot of people realize it. And the outdoor game gave us that bump to put us over the finish line in that. So then it was like, okay, now it's time to start looking at this. Had a conversation with Chris Perry and company last summer to say, hey, I'm thinking about this and the different avenues to go when the conversation started. And by the time we got into the fall, at that point, there were six or seven teams that we had brought together and were speaking about it. Four have they really hung with us from the beginning, that being Louisville, UNC, and Alabama. That's when it really started to take shape, when we knew that we had, you know, our core four to begin to launch and build this with, and making sure we had great partners to do it with. You know, obviously, we've partnered with UNC and a lot of stuff, but Brian Graham at Louisville and Mike Fairbanks and Will Zeke down at Alabama have been great to work with. Can't say enough good things about them. And Mike Wally, our commissioner, you know, he's been awesome in being so progressive in what we've done as a conference. This was the next logical step for the ACC.
Yeah, I think it was pretty cool reading the press release. It'll mark basically the 30th season of ACCHL hockey, which I think is a really good way to commemorate things.
Yeah, and you know, now we're like the real ACC too, right? The football conference goes from California to the Pacific to the Atlantic. So now we're going from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border with Syracuse and Alabama. So, you know, we're just following suit of our, you know, the core conference there.
And I did get a kick because with UNC, NC State, and Louisville joining the ACCHL, like a lot of people outside of the hockey community were very confused. Like, Alabama's hockey team is going to play in the ACC now. But of course, it makes sense with the additions of Syracuse and Pitt. But I want to ask a little bit about Delaware and Stony Brook, because I remember when the release came out, you guys had mentioned that you were going to be targeting some Power 5 schools. They had to be the top team on campus, and Stony Brook and Delaware definitely fit that bill, but maybe not on the Power 5 end of the spectrum. But what do they bring to the table that certainly elevates the conference?
Well, I think when you look at what Delaware is, we're also looking for schools that are progressive too, and they want to build, they want to be better. You know, you look at Delaware and they're elevating their football program to the football bowl division. And Stony Brook is a school that, you know, a few years back, they made the College World Series in baseball, and they were actually just the recipients of one of the largest, if not the largest, endowment gift in the U.S. United States history. And the way those two schools have moved academically, the way they've looked to move their athletic, Stony Brook and Delaware, Delaware's won ACHA national titles. Stony Brook's been a top team. So I think one thing that those two programs, in addition to Pitt and Syracuse, is they really give our conference credibility of those are teams that have made runs at ACHA M1 Nationals, and Chris Garofalo and Todd, you know, they want to get better big time. And so they, you know, they're like-minded schools into what they want to do with their hockey programs. You know, remember, we were the first conference that really created promotion and relegation within our Division II league, which gave every team something to play for. Actually, even in our Division I league, we have that as well. I think when you look at it, there are some teams that have probably stuck around M1 longer than they should have, right? And they might be a better fit elsewhere. We're saying we want to create a strong conference
teams and programs can change so fast in the ACHA, and it's better for the student athlete if they are always leveled where they should be and where that program is. And so we've created a structure for that, and that's what they loved about it. We love that they're like-minded that way, and it also buys us credibility. The last thing that it does too is it buys us time to continue to develop other teams in the South to jump up to M1 so we could have a true six-team division. We don't really have all those teams there yet, right? But we felt we're ready to make the jump. So that gives us a complete league. They also want to build out a larger Northern. The vision is eventually to get to an 8-team Northern and an 8-team Southern for the ACCHL M1.
And now looking at that, because the other two teams being added in the North are ACC schools, traditionally you have Syracuse and Pitt. It's funny to say ACC traditionally because people older than me will tell me that those are Big East schools that are competing in the ACC. Is there going to be some interleague play between the North and South divisions? Will we see teams from the North make the trips down South to play, you know, NC State, UNC, Louisville, and Alabama?
It's funny. I'm right there with you, by the way. I'm from upstate New York, mid-40s. So Syracuse to me will always be a Big East team. And, Alonzo Mourning and those guys. Pitt and Delaware. Delaware is already on my schedule for next year for 25-26. Pitt will get a date squared away. But what we're planning on doing, I think people have known, we've always done a mid-season ACCHL tournament on the D2 and D3 level. We're going to do something like that as well. And that's where we'll have some crossover between Stony Brook and Syracuse.
We saw earlier this summer, UNC announced that they'd be playing against Virginia Tech outdoors in Charlotte. Now you guys are going to take turns playing your outdoor game in Charlotte, but you're going to take on the defending AAU College Hockey National Champions, the University of South Carolina. How did this event come to be?
We know my feeling on the AAU be called a national champion in a 16-team league. You know, it's funny, somewhat ironic too, as we know, I kind of chirped that out a little bit during the AAU playoffs last year. We actually have a really good relationship with the South Carolina staff. You know, look, they're on our border. We should be playing, and we were already playing in September. And we were going to play another school, and I'll leave them at it, but it just probably wasn't going to be competitive and be a great game. South Carolina was the one that made the most sense, right? Charlotte's right on the border. South Carolina, historically the strongest team in South Carolina, historically we're the strongest team in North Carolina. So it made sense for that to kind of be the border battle there between the top, you know, would have been the top two collegiate programs. They're dual registered this year with ACHA D2. So now it's an ACHA D2 game. It's just the perfect matchup. And if you look at even at Charlotte themselves on the football, they've hosted a lot of great interconference. You know, NC State's playing Tennessee this year. USC has played that team up the road in blue in the past there. It's just the perfect matchup place to have this game. And what's really exciting is the next day, we're playing Army at Fort Liberty. So it's a really cool weekend for us.
I wanted to bring it up too, because I think you had been pretty publicly vocal about the AAU playoffs. And I do think there's something to be said though about still scheduling them. Like, I think there are a lot of people in this collegiate hockey world that we live in with two leagues that maybe wouldn't give teams from the other league the time of day, but now that they are dual registered and they are going to compete under the ACHA M2 umbrella for a couple games, same with the University of Georgia, same with High Point, it's cool that it's now opened the door for these games to happen under, you know, sanctioned rules.
Yeah, and it's not so much about the time of day, right? Like, so if you're going to host the game, put it out there, it has to make some financial sense too if it's not going to count for anything, right? But now this counts for something. You know, I told South Carolina, you know, we scheduled in originally in September. I said, I'm open to play you, but I'm not going to play you in January and February when we're headed to the playoffs and we need those games to count for something. So this alleviates that with the double registering. And there's no doubt. I mean, they're a great program. They're a quality program. And, you know, the other thing about South Carolina, and this is a positive, they know who they are. You know, there's another team that will remain nameless out of AAU. Their D2 coach called me. And I didn't know it was their D2 coach on the phone. I said, hey, is this the D1 team or the D2 team? And he goes, oh, it's the D2 team. You know, we're D2, you're D2. We should be playing each other. And I said to him, I said, have you ever watched a Minot game? Have you ever watched a Liberty game? Your D1 is not the same. And that's nothing against him. I think those teams would own that too, right? But it's just a little bit of that's that particular program. We're here. This is a great matchup. This is a perfect matchup. This will be exciting. I think these are two programs programs who really know who they are and where they are. And I think it'll be exciting for the fans. Anytime you kind of have an interstate rivalry like that, it's going to be awesome. Two alumni bases down there. And we haven't played in Charlotte in a while, so I'm looking forward to get down to our fans in Charlotte.
Speaking of Charlotte, this will be a new venue. Is there anything that you are going to take with you from your first outdoor experience? It was very different circumstances playing in Raleigh at Carter-Finley after the stadium series. Now you're going to Charlotte. They seem to have figured out the outdoor rink setup at the ballpark here. But what experiences are you going to learn from your second time around doing the outdoor game?
It's funny you say that. I think it went so well the first time. I think just replicate it. You know, there are differences playing outside, right? Like, you know, one of the things I always talk about Frozen Finley, and this will be a little bit different because it won't be 26,000 people, is you don't have any fans on the glass, right? Like everything's kind of set back. And so it's almost like you're playing on a stage. And if you've been on stage lights, you can't see the audience, and then suddenly something happens and you feel it. That's what playing at Carter-Finley was like. And so the guys that have played that before will understand what that's like. You're almost on a stage and then something happens and the crowd reacts. I think Jess Tart, our equipment manager, who's probably the best in the business, you know, he's great at, okay, maybe you don't want it the 9/16 because it's a little bit warmer, and those adjustments as well. But other than that, I don't see, you know, the experience of it. I thought we handled it really well last time. So I don't see many major changes this time.
What are some ripple effects from Frozen Finley that you guys are still seeing every day?
It's really changed so much. I think, you know, people forget, for a college who has a selective admissions, right? That game was after admissions deadline. That helped us yield players last year, but it didn't help us really with any new. And this year we're seeing that. So you look at our recruiting class this year, you know, we have NAL kids, we have NCDC kids, NCAA3 transfers. We have USPHL premier kids who are all top three line kids, including another R. Johnson coming in, Reese Johnson, Riley's younger brother. I think there is that impact on the recruiting for this year. I also think inroads in the university and with alumni connections, you know, alumni development was at our alumni weekend where we sold out the game for, you know, you see a lot of alumni games where it's kind of the current team versus some alums because they don't have, we had full benches of just alums on both teams, which is awesome. And then we had a reception afterwards for 80, that we had 85 people. So that aspect of it. So the alumni engagement has gone up. The university is helping us. Someone in the athletic department, and can't quite announce this yet, the way in which our games will be streamed this year is going to be totally different. You know, we're working out the contracts, but again, that's, you know, someone in the athletic department helped make that connection for us. It's going to be awesome. It really was the year of NC State this past year in general too, right? You had the two Final Four teams. You had the College World Series. You had Peyton Wilson on the football field. So yes, we were the season before, but there's just been so much positivity around NC State. All this has been in a 16-month span, which we've been able to ride that wave to, you know, even have our program get stronger too.
And now, has any of this changed your perspective on NC State hockey? Because if you're anything like me, like in my time at Syracuse, I was saying like, how cool would it be if we got to play another game in the dome, right? Like that would be cool. But I wonder what would have happened if we actually did get to do that. Like I imagine you were thinking how cool it would be if you guys could play an outdoor game at Carter-Finley against UNC. And then you guys ultimately did, and it was very successful. Like, has that changed how you look at NC State hockey, or do you still have the same goals?
That's a great question. I think the goals are unchanged. I think just because we're a pretty ambitious program, and I think you've seen us move over the years, I think one of the things that actually has helped us, actually UNC getting better, right? When we had, what was it, the 15 or 18 game win streak, that wasn't healthy for the rivalry, wasn't hot, you know, so actually them getting better has helped us too, right? So it helps us make a package for the D1 thing. That's actually probably their change has actually probably helped us because now it is a package deal and able to move forward. You know, the D1 thing was important that we had two down here for teams to travel into. For us, I think the changes in internal, we knew we had this fan base. If you know about NC State athletics, you know they sell out things like wrestling and gymnastics and everything. It's a ravenous fan base. I think what it really did was tell the world what we are at NC State and how ravenous and awesome our fans are across the board.
I think you bring a really good point in about the rivalries, because I've been saying for years now, think about how much crazier a rivalry they would have in South Carolina if Clemson followed in South Carolina's footsteps, similar to how UNC caught up to you guys, right? And it makes it more competitive when the two teams, you know, the same playing surface. And I think that's almost what they're waiting to happen in South Carolina with the Clemson rivalry.
I mean, and if you've been into that Clemson-Greenville area, it's a really cool area. It's an awesome area. And I think that would help push it along as well. But hey, if Clemson isn't going to fill that void, we're happy to invite South Carolina up into kind of our rivalry land too. So, you know, we can be a good surrogate. We'll sell out Truist Field with them. That's the goal there.
You mentioned the success that NC State as a university has had over the last couple of years as well. And you guys have gained a lot of notoriety and you know, the work that you have done. Is there any more talk about moving away from the Ice Pack branding and going to the official school branding? Or are you guys kind of happy where you are now?
NC State with Tuffy and that stuff, it's a great logo. And when guys first come in, they're kind of like, oh, I wish we would have that. But then suddenly they're like, no, we like this. This is our own. Our guys talk about walking around campus. And if you see an NC State shirt, right, that could be because they bought it because they like any team. But when you see an Ice Pack shirt on campus or around town, you know that's for the hockey team. Even if we were given the option, we would love Tuffy or Wolfie on the jersey. Don't get me wrong. There would always be some element of the Ice Pack branding. I think, first of all, it's a great revenue source for us. We're actually, after football, baseball, and basketball, we're the fourth biggest team sales at Red and White Shop. Get all your NC State gear, a little plug there. There's kind of a magic to it when you're on campus that it's almost this, I don't even want to say a cult following because it's bigger than that now. You know, I love when I go to an NC State or a Canes hockey game, right? And I'll walk by someone in the jersey, like, hey, nice jersey. And they're like, thanks. And they don't even know who I am because of just how big it has. And now you have casual fans buying that. It used to be if I saw someone at a game, it was like, oh, hey, you know, you're so-and-so's dad, you know, it's Chris Solomon's dad. But no, like now it's that widespread. I was just playing in a golf tournament this weekend down in Myrtle Beach. And just to see guys walking in with Ice Pack Yetis and stuff like that, it's like, all right, we've built this brand and it's an important brand and it's an awesome brand. So I don't see us really moving away from it. It's part of who we are.
All right. And then before we go here, you coaching a youth hockey tournament in Foxborough this weekend?
Actually, it's one of the rare weekends I don't have to coach. We have just a great girls program down here in Raleigh in the Junior Canes. My daughter's part of a really good 2013 group. So we're up playing with the Tropics and down at the Militia Cup. So although flying into Manchester, hopefully we get out on Thursday with what's coming through. But yeah, I have two daughters who love the game. And so we're traveling all over the place with them too. It's an awesome experience.
When you do get the chance to coach your daughters, is there anything that you take away from that you then translate on the ACHA side of things?
You know, it's funny. I tell people my two favorite ages to coach are U12 and college. And I've done prep school. I've done everything in between because at both points, those are probably the two ages that listen the best. Right. At U12, they don't have all the answers yet. And you know, college, they have the maturity of it. Coaching college has made me a better youth coach because it's like, okay, these are the skill sets and pieces sometimes that the college kids are missing that we're going to drill into them and get it right. For example, I talk a lot about stick discipline, right? Is that stick down, showing targets, you know, if you're trying to tip or stuff like that, you know, those little things that I think sometimes are missing at the upper levels or why I might not take a player at the upper levels is just drilling into and getting that habit at a younger age.
No, that's great. And last question before you go, with all this conference realignment stuff, and I know you have a lot of rivalries in the ACCHL now, but what's a team in the future, a university you would love to see NC State compete against in hockey?
In terms of bringing in the conference or just in general?
Just in general. You, like one day you wake up and you look on TV and NC State is playing blank school.
I mean, it's got to be the UNLV trip, right? Go out to Vegas. That would be awesome. A little home and home with UNLV. I don't think it could get any better than that one on the ACHA level.
That would be great. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us this week on short notice and filling us in on all this, the good stuff you got going on down in Raleigh.
I appreciate it. You know, as always, thanks to the Hockey House, what you guys have done for the ACHA, our growth and all of our team's growths. You guys are a big part of that. So thank you.
You guys make it easy, though. North Carolina is the capital of club hockey. Everybody knows that. We've been saying it for years.
Yeah, now, you know, and that's something that Frozen Finley put out there to the world.
Once again, thank you to Coach Healy for joining the show. Always good to catch up with him, and crazy to see the progress that not only NC State has made over the last couple of years, but college hockey as a whole in the state of North Carolina. One of the teams that we mentioned in this new ACCHL is Louisville, and I forgot to mention earlier, been working with them the last couple of weeks and just placed a team order for Selly Hockey Co. They're going with these custom Derby City hats here, Collins. I pulled up a picture here so you could review them here. Just a textbook example of what teams can do in terms of, you know, working working around licensing issues and whatnot. They got the Derby City hockey hat, and it's got the Fighting Cardinal skating retro logo with the Louisville skyline, and it's got the horses racing across in the front. I hope I'm doing a good job describing this hat, but this is certainly one of my favorite ones that we've gotten to do since I joined the team at Selly, but certainly going to try to get my hands on one of these snapbacks.
These are sick. I love the Cardinal. I mean, who doesn't love? There's two types of logos I love: mascots wearing sweaters and mascots wearing the sailor hat thing.
Yep.
The Michigan Wolverine, the Tar Heel. It feels like every school has a little, the head wearing the sailor hat. And also being from Baltimore, the home of the second leg of the Triple Crown, love the fact that it ties back to horse racing. It's such a key part and a massive event hosted in that city. And I love it. I'm definitely going to have to get one. It'll be a fine addition to the collection to have around.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to say, being from Baltimore, this is going to be a good hat because I could rep Lamar Jackson at Ravens games with this Louisville hat.
I forgot about that. I mean, I do love Lamar Jackson, my glorious king.
When they sent us this logo, I was like, dang, like that logo is good enough. It could just go on the hat by itself. It doesn't need anything else. But our design team killed it with the horses running across the bottom and the Louisville skyline. So it came out sweet. And of course, this is a great reminder, if you want your team looking good off the ice this season, make sure you get your team orders with Selly Hockey Co. And now, going to get a bunch of orders here. Guys are heading back to school. We're doing guys' teams, girls' teams. Everybody's getting in on the action. So make sure your team doesn't wait too long and gets in on the action as well. So head out to SellyHockeyCo.com for more details. We got some news, though. ACHA released official graphics with the realignments for this upcoming year. So these have already been announced, but ACHA Men's Division One, you have Drury moving from M2 to M1, Northwood moving from M3 to M1, and Saginaw Valley State moving from M3 to M1. So three new teams in ACHA M1 that we've kind of known about for a while here. Bit of a shock in Men's Division Two, though. They released the graphic and you had Augustana, Michigan Tech, Nevada, Schoolcraft. That's a team we're going to have to look into more. I mean, Schoolcraft, we got to run the numbers on that one, make sure that's a real school. TCNJ and UTSA. Moving from M3 to M2, we have Mizzou and Arkansas. But the real headline here is that South Carolina, Georgia, and High Point will compete as members of ACHA Men's Division II this year. All three of those schools were at nationals in AAU college hockey last year. They can compete in both the ACHA and AAU competition, but since there is a one-year probation period, they can only compete in AAU postseason this year and not in the ACHA. Next season, 2025-26, they'll be able to compete in ACHA postseason play if they qualify. So South Carolina, Georgia, and High Point doing a little bit of a dual membership thing in 2024-25. They'll play AAU games, they'll play ACHA games, and they will most likely qualify for AAU nationals, but maybe they could qualify for ACHA nationals come 2025-26.
Shocking news. Something that nobody saw coming whatsoever. And the fact that there were no official press releases that we had seen from the universities or got a tip on it was definitely shocking. So just to see it on Instagram and through the ACHA Instagram is pretty crazy. But I do have some information on Schoolcraft College. And there's actually a Fox 2 Detroit article on them. It's not called Schoolcraft because it is a school. It's located in Schoolcraft, Michigan. That makes a lot more sense.
Now that I'm looking at this logo, we might have mentioned it like way back in January when the school announced that they were doing a team. And now that I'm seeing this on a list, Schoolcraft is a very funny name. But
so this came out December 2nd, 2023. So, but yeah, their head coach is going to be Dan Phelps, who was the former head coach and hockey director of Adrian Men's D1.
Oh, so they're in good hands.
They are in good hands.
Well, moving along to ACHA Men's Division 3, we have a couple teams moving down from M2. We have Cal Lutheran, Concordia Ann Arbor, Long Beach State, Loyola Chicago, Park University Gilbert, St. Louis, Santa Clara, UC Davis, UC Irvine, UC Santa Cruz, and Xavier, all moving down to M3, which I think is good to see. You want to see teams being able to compete. And I think there's no shame in going down to M3. See, you know, a Michigan school like Concordia Ann Arbor, probably going to have a lot lighter of travel playing in M3. You got some new programs in there as well. College of Canyons, Drury, Mizzou, Wisconsin, and Yeshiva are all going to have M3 teams next year. ACHA Women's One will have two new members. Arizona is joining, which we've known about for a while, but Washington is actually going to be on a probation year as well. They're going to have a lot of travel too, but I know their program has been growing the past couple of years, especially with the addition of the Kraken in Seattle. And then in ACHA Women's 2, we have a handful of new teams: Arkansas, Army, Augustana, Eastern Michigan, Hope, Iowa, Illinois, North Carolina, and Roosevelt. So a lot of these teams have men's teams on campus already. Love to seeing them adding women's 2 teams as well. Eastern Michigan, they lose their M1 program for a year, but they gain a women's 2 team. So that's really good to see for the Eagles.
It looks like we have a bit of a Pac-12 forming in women's 1. I would love to see this continue to grow. Maybe let's get the Utes in there, Stanford, and bring back the Pac-12 in some form. I can't have just the Pac-2.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. Let's have it in ACHA Women's 1 hockey. There was a viral tweet going around for the Olympics. I think it said something along the lines of somebody had tweeted out a photo of the Eiffel Tower looking over the beach volleyball court, and it was a tweet from Coley Harvey. It says, "Name a better sporting venue ever to exist. I'll wait." Threw a quote tweet at it. How about SEC hockey in a hotel ballroom? Of course, Georgia for many years played at the Classic Center, which was a hotel, a convention center. They used to lay down the refrigeration, the boards, the glass, all of it. Had the mobile bleachers on all 4 sides. And it's just one of those things where it's like, we take for granted in the club hockey world, but like, this was a thing that happened for a very long time. And now we have our platform to share with people, and the people were just going nuts over it. And so we did a nice collab with BR Open Ice about it, which was very fun. And in other news, Sean Hogan has been tabbed to lead College Hockey Inc. We interviewed Sean, a friend of the program, a while back ago. I think this was like in the early days of Herm joining the squad. We had Coach Hogan on, but College Hockey Inc. announced today that Sean Hogan will serve as the organization's new executive director. Hogan was elevated from his previous position of senior director of men's hockey athlete relations and will begin his new role effective immediately. He joined College Hockey Inc. in 2019 as its director of education and led the organization's efforts to promote NCAA hockey awareness to talented young hockey players, their families, coaches, and advisors. He brought with him extensive college hockey coaching experience, having served as the ACHA head coach at Ohio from 2014 to 2019, at Arizona from 2011 to 2014, and Oakland from 2005 to 2009. So congratulations to Coach Hogan. Having an ACHA guy lead the charge for College Hockey Inc. is awesome to see, and I imagine that's only going to help the growth of our game. I want to give some stick taps to Emily Castilny. She is the new head coach at Adrian, their women's 2 team, native of Canton, Michigan. She comes to the Bulldogs after having worked as an assistant coach for the Livonia United girls hockey program last season. She also brings her ACHA women's 2 experience from Central Michigan University, where she was a captain and the team's president. So she knows what it takes to run a successful women's 2 program. This is a big shakeup for the Bulldogs, though. They had the women's 2 coach of the year, Maddie Maloney, departed over the offseason. Another new head coach in women's 2, Teresa DiMaggio. She will get behind the bench for Michigan State. So stick taps to those new coaches in women's 2. We had some assistant coaches named for the Winter World University Games. The men's side for USA will have Chad Berman, the Arizona M1 coach, and Wyatt Walsenchuk, the Minot State head coach. And then on the women's side, Coach Quattro from Niagara and Coach Jenna Trubiano from Michigan. So congratulations to those coaches. I imagine maybe they'll be doing some recruiting in the fall semester. So if you're playing Arizona or Minot on the men's side, or Niagara or Michigan on the women's side, I mean, you gotta bring your A game, because that might be your ticket to Italy for the Winter World Olympic Games. We got a Rumble and Raleigh calling up coming up. We talked a lot about UNC at the top of the show, but the North Carolina M2 team will be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes Alumni Association in a fundraising event on August 16th. Carolina Hurricanes alum and Stanley Cup champions Aaron Ward, Shane Willis, Chad LaRose, Cam Ward, Bates Battaglia, and others will take to the ice against the current UNC team. So that should be a very fun event. You've listened to this show for a while now. You know, as a kid, I used to watch the 2006 Carolina Hurricanes Stanley Cup video. These a lot of familiar faces playing in this alumni game. Speaking of familiar faces, we have 2 of them meeting up. West Virginia and Pitt will start the season on September 15th with a backyard brawl on ice. They will be playing at the West Banco Arena in Wheeling, West Virginia. Very excited for this one. Certainly a game that we're going to have to make a game of the week early on in the season. Love to see a big rivalry game at a neutral site early in the season. Hopefully we can get a big crowd here. Collins, any allegiances here? You leaning more towards Pitt, leaning towards West Virginia? The West Virginia team said, you know, it's our state versus their neighborhood, which I think is a funny way of looking at the rivalry. But this rivalry came back in football a couple seasons ago, and love seeing them kick off the hockey season with a battle in Wheeling.
Start the season with a bang, because this is going to be chippy. I don't think I have any allegiances, but I believe as an OG in the Big East, I'm going to have to roll with Pitt.
Yeah, Pitt coming off a season where they surprised some folks at the national tournament, some really big upsets early on, and they come into that kind of the heavyweight over West Virginia to start off the season. Talked about them a couple times on the show before, but URI head coach Joe Augustine will be inducted into the Rhode Island Hockey Hall of Fame. Joe, of course, has been behind the bench for the Rams for a long time, led them to the national championship in 2006. Date of the event is August 17th. So head to the URI Hockey social media for more information on that event. Kansas is getting a new home. The Jayhawks are moving to the Advent Health Sports Park at Blue Hawk. It is a multi-sport complex that will include an NHL regulation-sized ice rink, 8 basketball courts, converted into volleyball, pickleball. It's going to have locker rooms, turf field, training area, cafe, bar and grill, and more. So it's got all the bells and whistles that a modern-day hockey rink has these days, and that'll be really exciting for the Jayhawks. I looked online, still about a 50-minute commute from campus, so hopefully that helps, you know, draw some bigger crowds at the new facility, but I think it's going to be almost a 2,000-seat arena, too, so best of luck for the Jayhawks. I believe they are going to start playing there in November, so something to keep an eye on. And then we have an M1 versus NCAA D3 matchup here. We've asked for more of these in the past. Niagara will be taking on SUNY Cortland on Saturday, October 19th, so that'll be one to watch out for. The reigning SUNYAC champions, the Cortland Dragons. Photo of the year competition is now live. Just like last year, we have 6 categories to enter: moment, celebration, emotion, artistic, style, and fans, all with $100 cash prizes for the winners. Last year's event was a huge success. Next time Herm jumps on, he'll have more to talk about this one, but it's been awesome seeing the submissions roll in. And again, we had a lot of fun last year. Collins, you and I are going to be guest judging. Well, I guess we're not guest judging. We're helping judge. We got a team of guest judges joining us in this one. I mean, I love seeing the shots. It's cool to have some sort of competition that puts a spotlight on the photographers that make things happen in the ACHA and AAU college hockey.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also a really great chance to showcase a lot of incredibly talented photographers that may not necessarily have the opportunity to work for their varsity athletic department, whether that be due to the, you know, quality of their athletics programs or the time commitment that takes up. So could help move some careers along. And yeah, I'm really excited to see all the work that's going to be submitted.
Forgot to give stick taps earlier to our friend Tony Larkin for his work with Limitless Hockey. It was featured in a write-up by the SU Hockey website. They did an article from beat writer Brooke Kilgore titled "The King of the Jungle: The Story of Anthony Larkin in a Self-Started League." Basically gave Tony a shout out for starting the Frozen Jungle, a summer league for college hockey players in the Massachusetts and New England area. Haven't had the opportunity to stop by the jungle this summer in Canton, but trying to get down there before the season ends. Tony's done a great job. This is the second year in a row that they've done it. This year we have the Hockey House Pod team, which features a bunch of guys from UMass Amherst. So they've been having a heck of a summer so far, but it was nice to see Tony get some love from suhockey.com on this one. I'm trying to think of that. I didn't have anyone in the hot seat. Our Jersey Pro Summer League team lost in the first round of the playoffs. I think the final score of that one was 14-5. So maybe we put those guys on the hot seat this week. It feels like they've kind of been on the hot seat all summer. They just really haven't been able to turn it around. So we might just have to leave it at that.
You know, sometimes you just don't find the momentum. It's just about finding the rhythm. And I'm sure it's a talented group of guys.
Didn't gel this summer. Question of the week is inspired by the Empire Conference and the AAU. They did a player poll. Question this week was, which arena is the toughest to play in as a visiting team? Collins, if you were doing a player's poll and you were thinking, looking back on your career at Villanova, what was the toughest place to play as a visiting team?
I would have to say, just this might be recency bias, but Oswego State was tough. When we played them, it was their first game of the season, and the D3 team hadn't started playing games. The students on campus were just itching for some hockey. So there were 1,000 people there probably to watch Villanova versus Oswego State. A lot of shit talking from the crowd, and it was not a friendly environment for the Wildcats whatsoever. Based off of social media, what I've seen, I would have to say South Carolina is probably a pretty tough place to play in. And then Liberty also has to be a pretty tough place to play.
Yeah, I was thinking back on it. I had the opportunity, my freshman year was the most fun in terms of the different environments we got to play in. We got to go to Liberty, we got to go to Kent State, we went out to Colorado, had to get used to the elevation. But looking back on it, I think the toughest place I ever played was Chelsea Piers. There's not many rinks like that where you come in through New Jersey And then, you see the bright lights of the city. You're riding the bus into Manhattan and you almost feel like an NHL player on the bus in your suit getting ready for the game. And you roll into Chelsea Piers, tight neutral zone, small ceiling. They got a pretty good crowd pre-COVID too. So next time I went back there was during COVID, so they had no fans. Still just a tough place to play. They're always a physical team. The games were always really physical. It was one of those ones where you tighten up the chin strap on your helmet because you don't want it to come flying off when you ultimately get hit into the dasher.
Yeah, not to mention the locker room situation in Chelsea Piers too. That's not a good one pre-game.
Even when you think you're used to it, you're never used to it because you're just thinking about it in the back of your head. You're like, I'm getting dressed in a YMCA locker room right now. And so never won a game at Chelsea Piers in my college career. Was 0-4 there. So that was the place that gave me the hardest time. I didn't win at the rinks. So that was another tough place to play. Played there all 3 of the 4 years my time at Cuse. That was always it wasn't the rinks that was a tough place to play. It was just Stony Brook, I think, was a tough team to play against. So that's a good question coming from the Empire. Wanted to get your thoughts on this. We'll turn it over to 611 Thoughts to close things out. Have you had a chance to look at the new NCAA scholarship rules? And do you have any thoughts on how that could impact the ACHA and AAU college hockey? Or would you like me to go a little more in depth and maybe explain my thoughts here?
I've heard a bit about it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but basically the courts ruled specifically for the bigger schools that there are, essentially unlimited scholarship spots, if I'm correct now, right?
The scholarships have increased from 18 to 26 in NCAA Division I hockey, but the new court ruling says that you can only have rostered spots for potential scholarship players. So that means beginning in 2025-26, NCAA hockey teams can only have 26 guys on the roster. Even if you have, 20 scholarship players, you can only have 26 on the roster because, it's the same for, like, my sister plays women's lacrosse, so they can have 48 scholarships, which means they can only have 48 players on the team. A normal roster, you have 3 goalies on a team, that leaves 23 spots for forwards and defense. Every team dresses 19 players. This is off a thread from Jimmy Connolly. He did a great job outlining it. There's going to be a lot of guys getting cut next year, and the transfer portal is already crazy. Next year, more than any other year, you're going to see teams have guys leave for the portal and they're not going to find homes here, which could be really interesting. An interesting stat is going back to last season, there were 13 schools that had 26 or less players. 12 of them had exactly 23. Dartmouth had 25. Every other team in NCAA hockey had more than 26, including AIC, who had 36 rostered players. That's 10 guys on AIC that aren't going to have spots come 2025.
Yeah, I think this is going to unfold in a really potentially weird way. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of guys without a home, but then you're going to have the Arizonas, the Niagaras, the Canisiuses. Like, those schools are going to look at their ACHA M1 teams as more of a JV team, potentially say, like, hey, especially because now you're limited to 4 scratches. If you have, if that's 2 forwards, 2D, or 3 forwards, 1D, if you lose 1D, then you're going to need to call up somebody, and they're going to, potentially lose ACHA eligibility. But, I think it's definitely a weird spot to be in. This will shake up the ACHA, and we'll see a lot more maybe XD1 guys, potentially maybe more XD3 guys, as maybe those D1 players that are without a home make their way to like a Adrian D3 or Hobart or any of those big schools in the NESCAC or so on.
Right, because you got to think, say 64 NCAA Division I teams in men's ice hockey. If every team has to cut 2 guys, that's 120 guys looking for new homes. That's essentially like what, almost 8 hockey teams right there. I know the math is a little rough on that, but it'll be very interesting to see, especially if you're a guy in the NCAA and you're not dressing that much this year. You're probably looking at the portal. You're probably looking at highlights of the University of Arizona or Minot State or UNLV or UNC or NC State, right? Because you want to go to a place where you can play and you're going to have fun. So it's certainly going to change the landscape of college hockey.
Yeah, definitely. I think if I'm correct too, this really only affects the bigger schools. And I mean, it's obviously going to change college sports a ton, but I don't see it impacting the Bemidji States or the Bowling Greens. I thought it was really, I guess, power four, at least in the grander scheme of NCAA, because it's all based on football, right?
No, but the way the smaller schools get screwed in this is the scholarships increase from 18 to 26. Bemidji State probably doesn't have the money for eight more scholarships. So they might still only, like, obviously a team like Michigan, Minnesota, Penn State, those Big Ten schools are going to find a way for 26 scholarships. You could potentially see NCAA hockey become top heavy, where it's like, you know, the teams that can hand out all 26 scholarships are going to be the better teams. But in terms of roster size, every team in the league is going to have to have a 26-man roster. So it'll be interesting to see. But if anyone has any intel on this, feel free to hit us up. Of course, we're getting the gears turning now. We've turned a corner in August, and we're getting ready for the season here.
Yeah, and if you are an NCAA player who's potentially scared and is looking for a home, check out the ACHA Almanac.
ACHA Almanac. Herm's got a new job that next time he jumps on, he'll be able to share more with all of you. And of course, Fitzy had a big men's league tilt this weekend, or not this week, but tonight. He couldn't jump on for the recording. So I got my men's league tournament this weekend that we're looking forward to. And again, we're going to get buzzing again. First week of August in the books here. And like I mentioned, we're turning a corner and we got our eyes on the 2024-2025 AAU college hockey ACHA season. So without further ado, we will see you in a couple weeks.
See you, boys. Yeah.